Listen, my studio guest has got a most interesting story. Because he's what's often referred to as a child prodigy, although he's a young man that sat opposite me. He's called Maximilian Janisch from Switzerland. And now at the age of 12, he's attending mathematics courses at the university level. Roughly speaking, we think he's probably one of the youngest Swiss university students ever. He features in a new documentary from the filmmaker Nicholas Greinacher, who followed Max and his parents around their high-energy daily life in terms of this notion of being a child prodigy. Maximilian, welcome to you.
Welcome.
Are you comfortable with the phrase child prodigy? Because it puts a huge
pressure
hat on you, doesn't it? A label.
So I don't like it too much. I would say that I'm not really a child prodigy. I would say that I'm just gifted in math and that I like math, doing math, that I understand things in math faster than you would normally in my age, right? By the way, I'm 30 now. I'm just getting 30, yes.
Teenagers. Big, important.
I don't like child prodigy because I'm just gifted in math. I'm not really special in any other way. I'm just a 13-year-old boy, right? And I'm just gifted in math. So, yes, you say I don't like the hat that is set on me with.
Well, why not use it then? Just particularly gifted in math is good for me. It was when you were as young as, what, 5 or 6 that you and your family realised, I've got something here. Can you remember that? Because when you're 6, you don't really... Do you think like that? Or was it just doing some maths all day? Or what was it like?
Well, I just liked adding numbers, you know, adding many numbers. Like, for example, at the end of the car, you always have like 6 numbers, something like that. I like to just add those up, right? Or I like multiplying like 2 numbers while other childs my age were just counting to 20 every day. That was kind of boring for me. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't really into math. I just like calculating, you know, adding numbers. That's not too special, but it was a little bit special, right? So, but it's not like we knew, oh, he's gifted in math. It's just, okay, he likes calculating, adding numbers.
Well, that's... never mind math. Your English is incredible. Goodness, 13-year-old. I had 2 words of German when I was your age. Goodness me. You've published an autobiography.
Yes, that's right.
Because surely in some ways your life hasn't begun yet. Why write so early?
Well, you know, I have to write down what has happened, right? The book was more like, first off, it was not my idea, right? It was the idea of the author, not of the author, but of the, how do you say, the publisher, right?
The publisher, right?
They came to me. And then I thought this is kind of a good idea because, you know, there were many things that had happened recently. So I thought, let's write that down so that in 10 years I can remember that. That was my primary goal. But the secondary goal was that I was just addressed by the publishers. So those were my 2 reasons.
And the adult world fascinated by it, you know, a young person with such talent. I wonder what your dream is when it comes to mathematics. I mean, we look at, you know, people like Professor Hawking and how they can use sometimes, you know, elementary or rudimentary elements of life, like mathematics, like, you know, basic inquiry, to take us into whole new places or places in the imagination. Do you have such a vision or where would you like to go?
No, I don't have such a vision. I'm just trying to progress in math. I'm just gonna see what's going to happen. I don't have like a fixed vision what I want to do, what I want to achieve in math. I'm just trying to evolve, to progress in math and get better, you know. So that's my short-term goal.
But we know that people like Einstein can take mathematical inquiry and formulae and use that to unlock some of the most important gates in the world. Life and in the universe. Does this tempt you, or what kind of math is your math?
Well, yeah, I like that. So, you know, there's like 2 types of math, right? You have the one that is applicable, that you can use more abstractly or less abstractly, and then there's like the math which you can't, which is not really applicable in real life situations, right? So it's not very useful, but it's very beautiful. So that's the question, but I still have time to decide. I think that I do want to do something which I can then use in real life, which, you know, I have to earn money too, right? So something which is applicable, but I don't want to just abolish the math, which is just beautiful but not useful, right?
What is beautiful to you about mathematics?
Well, what I like about mathematics is that it's like an art, right? Most of the times, right? So you have to, most of the times you have a problem, you want to solve something, want to prove something. You have a theorem, or you have to find a theorem, depending, right? And then you have to find a way to formulate this theorem, first off, to find this theorem, to see if this is an important theorem. Mm-hmm. And then it can take years just to prove that theorem, because it can get very complicated, that you have to find a way based on older proofs to prove your theorem, right? You have to build up on what has been built. And I like this process. It's like an art, because you have to find an elegant way, because else nobody's going to understand it, and it's probably going to take you too long to get to the end, and you might not get through the end. So
I wonder, have you thought about your thinking, about why your brain operates like this? Because I don't know any 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, teenagers thinking anything along these lines. Do you have you sorted out why you are this way? Why your brain works this way?
No, I just think that I like math. That's it. That I'm fascinated about math. That I like doing math. That I like to solve these riddles, right? These conundrums. So I haven't thought really why this is. This is like a psychological standpoint that. It's not, no, I haven't, no.
And you've got a mentor, I believe, already, Camilo De Lellis.
Camilo De Lellis, yes, he was born in Italy, so it's an Italian name. He's awesome, right? He's an awesome math prof. I see him about every 3 to 4 weeks, depending on if I have holidays or not. Yeah. So.
And what does he say to you?
Well, he just he's like a special professor just for me, right? So that's really awesome of him to do that. So he just gives me his older his older tasks.
Stuff that he's thought about already.
Not really, like just the you know, you have the theory in math and you have to do the exercises, right? So he gives me his older.
So stuff that he knows the answer to. It'd be pretty embarrassing if you were to give him stuff that he didn't know.
No, I couldn't do
I
that.
Bet you could.
I don't think so. So he probably knows everything that
Camilo,
I...
Camilo, let me check your page 5. I'm not so sure about your formula here.
No, obviously, he can make mistakes, but obviously it's not like he would not know something that I know. Something major that there's nothing major that I know at the moment that he doesn't. Obviously, he's just superior in math at the moment. So.
And you're studying at university level and you're already teaching.
Am I?
Are you? Well, let's say
I'm doing, but not at university level, right?
No.
I did like 2 years ago. I made a course for the matura. How do you say the secondary school examinations?
Secondary school.
The secondary school examinations. But it wasn't really a big success. I don't know why they didn't do much marketing. So nobody knew about the site where I did the lessons. So it wasn't a big success. But I did some teaching.
The filmmaker is with us in studio. What was it like having a film made about your life? You know, when you're so young.
Yeah, it was kind of like
it's the. Cool.
I liked it. It was a lot of work because, you know, you had to film all the scenes for like 2 minutes of film. You had to like film like half an hour at least. So that was kind of stressful because now we have 70 minutes. So it was a lot of work. But it's kind of like the book. I really like it. It was really cool. And I like the product. Right. So
I wonder when such a big part of your life is such a specialism, do you do other stuff?
Yeah, obviously, yeah. I wouldn't say that it is a big part, but it's not the biggest part of my life. Like, in my life, I'm just a normal 13-year-old boy. Like I said at the beginning, I like, you know, I like swimming, I like badminton, I like doing normal stuff too, right? That normal 13-year-olds would do. So.
Well, there are not too many 13-year-olds probably thinking mathematically the way you are. Is it difficult to have? I mean, seriously, is it difficult? Because, you know, the people who are thinking at your level are 10 or 20 years older than you mathematically. Is it difficult to have buddies your age?
Well, yeah, my age, I would say it's difficult, but I have the advantage that I've jumped 3 classes. I've left out 3 classes. So this means that I'm now together with people that probably have already more interest for school, for studying, for maybe also math. Yeah. So I have kind of an advantage here because it would be more difficult if I was in my age class, because obviously nobody would have my interests in math. But now I think it's good for me, actually, that my companions are a little bit older.
Yes.
So.
But is there nothing isolating about that? Because when I was 13, we were like a tribe, like a gang. You know, all the guys in my class, you know, we were sport and we were running around. Mm-hmm. There's nothing isolating about your your talent?
No, I wouldn't say that it's really isolating me. It's already no, I wouldn't say it's okay. I can adapt, right? I can integrate myself. It's no problem. I also really like my class for that. That they accept me. That first of they accept that I'm 3 to 4 years older than them, and then that they accept that I might have other interests than them. Mm-hmm. But I really like my class, so I wouldn't say that that's a big problem for me. No.
Well, it's very very interesting to meet you, Max, in an age when a lot of people say that, you know, stupid is the new smart. It's great to hear from a young person who has intelligence and is able to celebrate that. And this film, I know, aims to do just that, you know. So every success with the screening, and thank you for joining
thank
us.
Thank you very much, sir.
So there we go. That's Maximilian Janisch. And tonight the screening is it's part of the Light Emotion Awards, the documentary. It's in competition. It's at 4:30 this afternoon. So you need to get along to that nerve centre. Max has an IQ of 149 or more, which is probably more than everybody in this radio program team today. Well, maybe not. I don't know. He's Switzerland's most famous, highly gifted child. I think that's a better phrase instead of putting that awful label on him. So the film made by Nicholas, who's with us here in studio, taking a few photographs, and his mum and dad are here as well, carrying his stuff on a winter's day. Now, thanks to you all. Thank you indeed.